Then against Wilkinson, it was prepared for the job. So you could say, I love Wilkinson. He's just a great football coach. He's done so much for Oklahoma, but what does he know about it? Here's a guy that's prepared for the job. I even got a half-page ad in the Daily Oklahoma and elsewhere, faculty members at the University of Oklahoma. And that was their whole thing. Fred Harris prepared for the job, political science major and a lawyer, state senator. Turned out, Wilkinson was really almost a kind of a John Bircher. First of all, he's very shallow and he didn't know politics. He knew football. Secondly, it was very simplistic, very right-wing views on things, but nobody knew it. For example, he was the first coach to have a black player in Oklahoma. Prentice Gott was an All-American football player for him. And he went around the state showing football films and talking for Mr. Wilkinson. And all those players held him in awe, reverence. But, strangely enough, one of his All-American fullbacks, who married a Walters girl, Buck McPhail, signed on as my treasurer. And I think that really hurt his afterwards career, coaches positions and so forth, but it was very important for me. Anyway, Wilkinson was a formidable opponent. It took us a while to kind of figure out what to do with him.
He would go about the state talking about certain subjects.
He had a set speech, and a big theme in it was, why Rome fell. It was a right-wing kind of a thing in those days that there's just too damn much welfare and all that, and that's why Rome fell. And, Bill Carmack, I later made him my administrative assistant. He had studied for the ministry, and he read Greek and Latin. I could say to him, okay, give me some Greek thing. Well, as Aeschylus wrote, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I put off as long as possible the kickoff of the fall campaign to save money. Wilkinson was already campaigning very early. And it also had been in the papers a lot about his speeches about why Rome fell and all that. I don't know, just kind of a spontaneous thing to sort of laugh a little at Wilkinson. So we had this huge kickoff thing. I had all my people come in from all over the state to the Hall of Mirrors at the Municipal Auditorium in Oklahoma City. Starting off, I said, you know, we're late getting started with this fall campaign. And the reason why is because it turned out that I wasn't prepared on what apparently is sort of the central issue of the Senate race. Mr. Wilkinson, you know, speaking everywhere about why Rome fell. I just hadn't prepared on that. I've since researched it, and what I found out is that the real reason why Rome fell, they decided to let the gladiators run the government. We got into say, two or three things you could do without being too mean, kind of joke Wilkinson, make him a little more of a human. But then two or three crucial things happened. One is the dumbest move you can imagine. They brought Strom Thurmond into the state.
South Carolina, Senator Strom Thurmond.
Terrible segregationist, racist, also a bomb him back into the Stone Age kind of a person. I later served with him. Wilkinson had been playing on his friendship with John Kennedy. Kennedy had appointed him head of the physical fitness program. You read in that book probably. First time I went to Hyannisport, we were having dinner over at Robert Kennedy's house. Jackie Kennedy was there, and Ethel and Robert and me and Madonna. Jackie said, Ethel and I became so concerned about all the reports, which were accurate, that Bud Wilkinson was going around Georgetown bad-mouthing the president, saying, you know, he's a liberal and all that. She said, of course, Bobby and Jack, they both were so crazy about football, they didn't want to hear it. So she said, what Ethel and I did, we wrote Jack an anonymous letter telling him about what Bud Wilkinson was saying about him. I thought that was kind of sad that the president's wife had to send him an anonymous letter. But anyway, so you'd think Wilkinson would just keep kind of playing on his friendship with John Kennedy. But instead, he brings Strom Thurmond into the state, and I mean, it gave us kind of a double advantage. One is scared the daylights out of African-Americans, have this arch segregationist. And where they sent him was down into George Wallace country down in southeastern Oklahoma, and obviously on purpose. That was written up in the papers, and black leaders said it. The double advantage was he made all the scary talk about Vietnam and increasing our effort there and so forth. That was a crucial thing. And then another crucial thing was Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, of course, our neighbor. Hell, he was overwhelmingly popular and running ahead of Goldwater.
Then you had a TV debate with Bud
Wilkinson.
And then
the third thing was the debate. I really did not want to do that. I thought he'd been on television so much, he'd come across as such a really nice, likable guy. It's the overall impression, I think, more than anything else that's important in these debates. And I'd come across as a slashing, cutting politician. So I put it off as long as I could. But people, all my own people, you know, they'd call in saying, they're killing us here. Saying, your candidate must be scared. Why won't he debate him? Wilkinson every day was saying to debate me. As I said, I'd never been in a formal debate before. But Bill McCamus's Northwestern University degree was in speech and communications. And then I had Bill Carmack, head of the communications department at the University of Oklahoma. What we decided to do was challenge him to a college-type debate. We wouldn't have the crutch of the news people asking you questions, just the two of you up there. So we challenged him. That got an angry cry out of him saying, well, wait a minute, I was the one who said to have a debate. Well, we went to the CBS station in Oklahoma City. He had as his advisor Ed Turner, who later went down to CNN as the news director. Ed was the local CBS news guy on that local station. They were really cute. We flipped a coin as who would speak first. They waited until a minute to say they won the toss. What I was planning on doing was if I went first, I would take about a jillion positions right quick. I'd also say I'm for Johnson and Humphrey. And I think Mr. Wilkinson ought to say whether he's for Goldwater and Miller. And how does he stand on these issues? So I wanted to go first. Well, they waited till the very last minute. And then they said, Wilkinson, we'll go first. But he spent a big part of his time saying, you know, I've been trying to get him to debate us. And he's talked about that. He wouldn't debate me. He said very little about issues or whatever. So it came my time, I still the same strategy, except I started off by saying, Mr. Wilkins wants to talk about why we're not debating. We are debating. So why don't we debate? Here's what I believe in. I'm for Lyndon Johnson and Hubert Humphrey for president and vice president. Mr. Wilkinson ought to say, is he for Goldwater and Miller? It just rattled the hell out of him. He said, for example, yes, of course I'm for Goldwater and Miller because the Democratic Party's got all this socialist history, you know, sort of smoked him out on the issues. And that proved to be a hugely important thing, I think, that debate, but in the context of all these other things, too.
So then the election takes place and you beat Bud Wilkinson.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Was polling taking place up to the election, and was it favoring you or him?
We didn't have much polls, I don't believe, until the very last, which showed it close. I never doubted we were going to win because we had all this good organization out there, and we'd been able not to match him with paid advertising and so forth, but we had an adequate budget. And we, at the very last, had this kind of a thing. Phillips Petroleum Company, and I didn't know then how they did it, but they put a hell of a lot of money in Wilkinson's campaign, even though in those days a political contribution by a corporation was a federal crime. We later found out in the Watergate scandal, Phillips and Lockheed and a whole lot of other people had backed the Nixon campaign in this way. They gave a bonus, say like $10,000 to a vice president, and the vice president took out enough to pay the tax on it. The rest of it went into a Swiss bank account, a slush fund that they then could get cash to Nixon with. And Phillips was one of those that did it with Nixon. And apparently that's what they were doing to Wilkinson. I knew there was big Phillips money because I had close friends like Don Bolden who had inside information. Right at the very last, it was a vice president, I can't think of his name now, of Phillips. Boots Adams was the president of Phillips. There was a vice president who was a kind of a token Democrat among the officers. And all of a sudden, he sent me a check for $2,000, I believe it was. A personal check, it wasn't a corporate check, $2,000. My first thought was, save this check, not cash it. As soon as I win this damn thing, I'll send it back to him and that'll teach him a lesson. And then I talked to my treasurer, Bill McCandless, and he told me how much we were in debt. So we decided, well, we'll teach him a lesson, we'll just cash his check. But, you know, that illustrates, they thought, well, maybe we better hedge our bets just a little, this guy might win this thing.